I'll come right in. Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Chairgating. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. This is the official NASCAR podcast of Belly Up Sports at bellyupsports.com. Be sure to check that out. And I guess we're just going to jump right into team rankings. We're going to do the update on the team rankings because I've been doing that at the beginning of every podcast now for this whole season. That's what I'm going to be doing. And I update it over at bellyupsports.com every single week after every race, and it's just a continual team ranking. It's not ranked on playoff points. It's ranked on an entire team and where they place each week, and it's continual, so it rolls over every single week, only adding to their ranking or taking away from it. And I guess first I can just mention Texas. I went to the race up in Fort Worth, drove up there, and it looked like on Jeff Gluck's Twitter page, which I'm sure you all follow. If you don't, I don't know why you're even listening to this podcast. But it looked like on his Twitter poll, let me pull it up real quick, it was a 69%, I believe. And that is the third highest. Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah, 69% said yes, which is hilarious because the whole 69 meme this whole weekend over at Texas. But yeah, got a 69% yes for upvote for people that enjoyed the race. And that is the third highest race so far this year, which is interesting because I was at the race. And usually when you're at a race, you are more entertained by it because you're actually at the race. And I didn't think it was that great. Maybe I was missing something that other people saw possibly on TV, but it's Texas, and I was sitting up high, so I could see the whole track. I watched all the cars, the whole track, the whole time. It was a fine race. It wasn't spectacular. I mean, I guess 69% isn't too far off. I would have maybe given it like a 60%. For Jeff Gluck's poll so far, it's Daytona was number one at 80. Atlanta number 2 was 71, Texas at 3 was 69, right above Phoenix, which was 4th at 67, Martinsville 58, and Las Vegas 56, and Fontana 37. Damn, it's a little harsh. A little harsh, I would say. But I did also notice that this race in Texas was the lowest voters, so that might have something to do with it being a little bit higher at 69, higher than maybe I would have given it at least. More importantly, there are still only two teams to get wins this year. It's still just Joe Gibbs Racing and Team Penske, and that's pretty crazy. It reminds me a lot of last year with Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick going at each other's throat back to back, but this year it seems to be more team based, so it's still only those two teams that have wins so far for 7 races, and also it's still only 4 drivers to have won, because Denny Hamlin got the win in Texas, and he also got the win in Daytona. So the winners so far have been Denny Hamlin, he got Daytona in Texas, and then we have Kyle Busch, who won, where did he win? Phoenix, I believe, and Fontana, and Keselowski won in Atlanta, and where else did he win? Martinsville, yeah, that's right, and then Las Vegas was Joey Logano. So, Joe Gibbs Racing, Team Penske still dominating. I don't know what's going to happen. Somebody else has to win eventually, right? I mean, I guess I don't have to, necessarily. Clint Bowyer did really well, and I know I've been talking about him the past couple weeks about how he's been really impressing me as an older guy, a veteran driver. He got second place, doing awesome. This one threw me off, though. Daniel Suarez at third. I've been kind of talking shit about Daniel Suarez for a while, about how he doesn't really ever do anything, and he ran well. He got third. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not willing to admit that I'm wrong yet, because I'm never wrong, right? I just change my opinions. Eric Jones, fourth. Good run for him. He's a great driver. A big one, though, Jimmy Johnson in fifth. So I guess Jimmy Johnson's not done yet? I mean, he was running real well the whole race. I wish I had it pulled up how many laps he led. But, yeah, he was running well. So that's interesting. It seems like every week now Hendrick has a guy that's going to be in the top five, but they'll never actually get a win. Just like Chevy in general, I guess. William Byron right there at six. Eric Almirola. I just had a Twitter poll on, I think it was Belly Up Racing, and I was asking who people thought their most underrated driver was. And for me, Eric Almirola is probably number two, maybe number three. Essentially, the poll was, who'd I have? Kurt Busch, who won it, and obviously everybody knows. I've been advocating that Kurt Busch is the most underrated driver this year by far, and last year as well, probably. Oof, excuse me. And then number two was Clint Bowyer. Yeah, Clint Bowyer got number two for most underrated driver, who I also think is extremely underrated, as I just mentioned. And then Eric Almirola, and then bit of a drop-off down to Alex Bowman. So, it was a little interesting. I just thought it was interesting to see what other people thought about that. And speaking of that, Kevin Harvick got 8th, Kurt Busch got 9th, and Kyle Busch got 10th. So, it was a pretty good race. It wasn't bad. I do want to mention that what is going on with Kevin Harvick? I mean, it can't be his team, because he's not placing higher than his team, and he's getting, you know, he'll run pretty high each week. What, last week he got 6th. Fourth, and 9th. So, yeah, I mean, he's running in the top 10 every single race. Sorry, my dog's drinking water right now. But he's running in the top 10 every single race. But last year, by this time, what do you have, like 3 or 4 wins? I mean, it was absurd. And I hate Kevin Harvick. I really don't like him. So, this is making me happy. Yeah, I don't like him. I've never liked him. I've always think he's kind of a punk, and he thinks he's tougher than he is, and he talks shit about a lot of other drivers, runs his mouth, and doesn't get called out like other drivers for some reason. So I don't like him, and I never have liked him. So I don't mind him not doing well. So anyway, that was Texas. Pretty good race overall. It's always a good time to go to a race there. It's never like the best product on the track, you know, ever since they repaved and lowered those banks. But it's always a fun time, you know, for how big Texas is and how much Texas actually likes NASCAR. It's odd that there's only one track, you know, when there's multiple tracks in other states. It just seems weird that Texas only has one track, and it's all the way up in Fort Worth. And for those of you who maybe aren't from Texas, it's a big fucking state. I'll just put it that way. Texas is fucking huge, right? I live in the next closest city outside the DFW area, which is Austin. And it's a 3-hour drive, which isn't bad at all. But I don't know, it's just such a big state with a huge population. It seems weird that, you know, maybe San Antonio, probably Houston would be a better spot. But it seems weird that there's not another track. So it's good when they do come. You know, we get those 2 races a year. Mediocre races, but, you know, people show up, have a good time. Definitely wasn't a sold-out crowd, but the weather was also pretty cold for Texas. And when it comes to Texans, we're kind of, we talk a big game about how we can handle heat, and we can. You know, people come here and they don't understand quite how hot it actually gets, especially depending on where you live. If you're out in the west, you know, in West Texas, out in the desert, it's desert. You know, you go down in the valley, it's like essentially in Mexico. You go down over to Houston, it's humid as hell. So outsiders don't really understand the heat about Texas, but one thing we can't handle is a little bit of just chilly weather. Like, we shut down if it's even chilly. If we can't wear, like, a t-shirt or short sleeves, it throws us totally for a loop. So, the weather wasn't great. It probably looked fine on TV because of the sun. The sun was out. But once the sun went down and you got in that shade, it was pretty brutally cold, at least from a Texan standpoint. So, moving on, team rankings. Let's do the updates. So, still at number one, they've been at number one the whole year, is Joe Gibbs Racing at 61.6 points. Hamlin obviously got the win. Eric Jones got fourth. Kyle Busch 10th. And Martin Truex Jr. 12th. Martin Truex Jr., by the way, a lot like Kevin Harvick, where the hell is he? It is weird to not see him, competing every single race for the win, because he really isn't. He's been running fine, don't get me wrong. He's had some bad weeks. He's running fine. He's looking pretty solid, but he's not competing for wins ever. Moving on, at number two, Stuart Haas Racing had a 2-point jump. They jumped up two spots. So now they're in second with 85.75 points. So quite a big jump between number one, Joe Gibbs, and number two, Stuart Haas. Clint Bowyer got second. Daniel Suarez third. Eric Almirola seventh. And Kevin Harvick eighth. And that's why Stuart Haas has been progressively getting better every single week, is because, yeah, they haven't got a win. But 2, 3, 7, and 8, all four of their drivers were in the top 10. That's incredible. And it's been happening like every week like that for them. They don't have any drivers really finishing low at all. Whereas number 3, they stayed at number 3. Chip Ganassi at 86.5. Kurt Busch finished 9th, most underrated driver ever. And Kyle Larson, 39th. So this also kind of brings up the point I think we talked about last week when I had my guest on, about, is Kyle Larson the most overrated driver in NASCAR? And although I don't want to believe it, because I think he's a talented driver, and I won't get too much into this, because like I said, we talked about it last week. If you want to hear that whole discussion, go listen to last week's episode. But Kyle Larson seems to be a talented driver, but he's got to prove it, you know, this year. It's kind of getting to that point where it's like, we're expecting you to get some more wins again, man. And it's not like Chip Ganassi is a terrible team. Kurt Busch just jumped in there, and he's been killing it this year. Kurt Busch is a great driver. Don't get me wrong. He's a championship driver. But if you're as talented as everybody makes you out to seem, you can't be finishing 39th, my man. And he has not been finishing well this season. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens throughout the season when it comes to Kyle Larson. Number four dropped all the way down from last week at second, Team Penske. And this one is probably a bit of a surprise, considering they're the only other team to get wins this season. But although they'll get a win, they'll have at least one driver finish in the back every week. And, you know, maybe it's just because it's like DNF or something. But, oh, dang it. Come here. Oh, my dog Princess Leia got her paw stuck. Yeah, Team Penske, they had 89.6 points, so right behind Chip Ganassi. You know, not a big drop, but Joey Logano finishing 17th, Kozlowski 36th, and Blaney 37th. That's really bad. That's one of the worst, maybe the worst of any team for a week. For this week, at least. Moving on, Hendrick staying steady at 5th. And that seems to be a pretty good spot for them. They are getting progressively better each week, it seems. But I don't know if they're going to get above 5th, because, like I said, Team Penske has 89.6 points, and Hendrick is at 109.25. So that's really where the big drop is, you know, between all these teams. And Hendrick seems to be pretty steady at 5th. I think that's where they belong this season. Jimmy Johnson finishing 5th, as I previously mentioned. William Byron 6th. Chase Elliott 13th. A good day for Chase, by the way. I do want to point that out. 13th, you know, it's not a good finish for him, but he had a great run, and he had a good day of racing. And then Alex Bowman at 18th. So, yeah, Hendrick seems like they're going to be sticking around fifth for the foreseeable future. Number six, Roush Fenway, Ryan Newman, 11, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 16. And they were only, was that 3 points behind Hendrick? So, you know, they're creeping up right behind him. Here's a big drop down to 150 points is number seven, JTG. They have Chris Buescher finished 20th and Ryan Preece who finished 22nd. And then they moved up, by the way, because they were 8th last week, but this week they're 7th. And then this week, number 8 is RCR, who dropped down. Unfortunately, they are just at 150.5, so literally a half a point behind JTG, but still, they should not be competing against JTG. This is Richard Childress Racing we're talking about. You know, this is a historic powerhouse dominant team. I guess similar to Roush in the sense that they are just falling off. And obviously, I wrote that article about how Austin Dillon's a good driver on a bad team. And ever since I wrote that article, he's actually been doing really well. And yeah, it seems to be holding up. Austin Dillon this week finished 14th and Daniel Hemric 33rd. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Daniel Hemric. He's got to do something here, you know. It's his rookie year, so give him a little bit of time. But he's not one of those, like, 20-year-old young guns that everybody's talking about. He's 28, I believe. 27 or 28. So he's older, you know. He doesn't have the same courtesy that these, like, 18-year-olds get when they're coming up. And then, last but not least, I decided to add this team last week just because they are a multi-car full-time team. I thought it was only fair. Front Row Motorsports at 183.3, pretty big drop. I don't see them ever contending with any of the other teams. They had McDowell in 15th, which is a solid finish, but then Tiff 24 and Reagan 25th. Yeah, they're probably not going to be making any comebacks because I don't see them really placing any higher than that, anybody on that team, and that's just how Front Row Motorsports is. They got three cars, they get sponsors, but they will always be in the back of the pack for every race. And then I also started doing the single car full-time team rankings, and that one didn't change at all. Number one, Wood Brothers with Paul Menard. Number two, Germain with Ty Dillon. And, you know, people give shit to Ty Dillon, but he's not bad, man. When you actually, like, break down all his finishes and where he finishes compared to these other single car teams, I mean, he's in second behind Paul Menard, who's a, you know, say what you want about Paul Menard and how he got his ride, but the dude's a vet by now. He's been racing for a long time. He at least knows what he's doing. You know, he, in my rankings for the single car teams, it's ranked a little bit different. But Paul Menard has 18.4 points, and Ty Dillon has 19.4 points. So he's only a point away from Paul Menard. Ty Dillon's been doing well. And not far off that, number three with Levine Family Racing is Matt DiBenedetto, 23.8. And a lot of people have been liking Matt DiBenedetto, and he's been doing well. You know, doing well for Levine Family Racing, I guess. These single-car teams are never going to compete with the multi-car teams, but that's why I broke them down separately, so they'd compete against each other. Number four, Richard Petty with Bubba Wallace. And yeah, that's pretty bad to see that out of the seven single-car teams, well, technically eight, but this is full-time teams. Anyway, out of the seven full-time single-car teams, Bubba Wallace is fourth. You know, that's pretty rough to see, considering all the hype. I mean, I didn't think that he was going to be like the next Danica because I have faith that he's a better driver than her. And I still think he's a better driver than Danica. Don't get me wrong. He also has a background in stock car instead of open wheel. And I think that helps. But I don't know. Maybe someday he'll get a chance to be in another ride and prove his worth there with some better equipment. But I mean, I'd have to go back and look at it, but I'm pretty sure Eric Almirola had much better results over at Richard Petty. And we saw how much better Eric Almirola was on a good team, so who knows. Number five was Ross Chastain. Number six was Go Fast with Corey LaJoie. Poor Corey LaJoie. Got all that hype in Daytona with it. With his beard car, his hair beard car. And then last but not least is Starcom with the double zero car, Landon Castle. And that's one that when you're at a race, I went with a buddy. And if somebody says, like, oh, can you name all the drivers by their car and what number they're in? That's one when you really impress them, when you know the double zero car. Because then they're like, damn, this guy really follows way too much NASCAR. Because who the hell is supposed to know double zero, you know? Trying to drink some water this time instead of energy drinks. Trying to get off the sodas. So anyway, you don't want to hear about what I'm doing, what I'm drinking. That was the NASCAR team rankings updated after Texas. We've had 7 races so far. It was a pretty solid race. I wouldn't say it was the 3rd best of the season. Not bad, though. And yeah, those are the rankings. Go to bellyupsports.com to get more of those rankings. You can see every single week broken down by pages at the bottom. And before we move on, I want to take this opportunity to just give a shout out to TixBlitz, the new sponsor of the show, TixBlitz.com, and that's TixBlitz.com. And it's a great website. It's a ticket website, and they guarantee your seats. They have tickets for every sport and every venue. So it's not just, you know, NBA or NFL. They have all NASCAR tickets as well. That's how I got mine for Texas. And the best part about this site is the price you see is the price you pay. There's no service fees. And that's incredible. I said it last week. I was on, what was it? StubHub, I believe. And they had, their ticket was like $3 cheaper than what I saw at TixBlitz, right? So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go with StubHub. But then once I actually went through the process, their ticket ended up being like $17 more than the TixBlitz one. Because I don't know how TixBlitz gets their prices this low, but it includes the service fees, I guess. Either way, the price you see is the price you pay. I mean, they're legit about it. And the best part about it is because you listen to this podcast, you get 5% off that as well. So you're already getting an even lower price than all those other ticket websites. The promo code is BELLYUP, no space, all caps, BELLYUP. Go type in that promo code, you'll get 5% off. And I'm telling you, unless you know somebody that hooks you up with tickets, I haven't found a better site online for lower prices. So I'm not just trying to sell you on this to make ad revenue, which I am, but I did my research and this is legit. Also, you know, go give them a follow on social media at TixBlitz and just give them a shout out, I guess. Say that you listen to Chair Gain. Maybe they'll give me more money. Who knows? All right, moving on. What were we going to talk about next? Oh, of course. I saw an article today about how there's potential roadblocks for bringing a race back to Nashville at the fairgrounds. And it was an interesting article because apparently around the fairgrounds, they are currently building an MLS stadium and it's too close to the racetrack to expand the way they need to. And also for just parking and traffic and people moving through and emergency, you know, requirements, stuff like that. Either way, they're saying that they're building it too close, right? And also on top of that, now they're building all these apartments there. And the apartments are way too close to the track, not to mention just how noisy. Could you imagine? Well, actually, I would love living in an apartment next to a racetrack. That's like a dream come true for me. But for somebody that's not a race fan, to have to live by a racetrack, and they would only have probably one race there a year, or one weekend of races, but that whole weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it would be so loud in your apartment. So, yeah, it seems like the planning of the whole thing is kind of starting to crumble apart for a potential race being in Nashville, which is unfortunate because, I mean, that is one of the best potential cities I can think of for a NASCAR race that doesn't have one right now. I mean, technically the state of Tennessee does have a race, but that's way up in the corner up by Virginia. Nashville would be a great city to put it there. Plenty of drivers want it there, particularly the Waltrips. Like Darrell Waltrip is a huge. He lives in Nashville, or Franklin, more specifically, and he's been wanting to race there for a while. And I'll get a lot more into Darrell Waltrip here in a minute. But yeah, it's unfortunate that this is becoming an issue because it would be a great place to have a race, and the track itself, drivers love. And fans would love to go there, but they do need to expand it quite a bit. If you look at how big it is, the capacity of it, and everything like that, they do need to do some complete overhauls. So, I don't know, we'll see. It's unfortunate that the city seems to be more interested in bringing professional soccer there. And it seems like every young, hip city, that's like their thing now. Like in Austin, that's all they care about right now is trying to they're bringing that MLS team from Columbus, the Crew. They're coming down here to Austin to be the Austin, I don't know, Austin hipsters. But yeah, it seems like all these hipster cities are obsessed with getting an MLS team, and I just find it odd. Like, I lived in Houston for 7 years? I don't know, the whole time I went to college. So yeah, probably 7 years. And no, I'm not a doctor, if you're wondering. Not all doctors go to college for 7 years. Sometimes just undergrads do as well that have NASCAR podcasts. More importantly, I lived in Houston for quite a while, and I think I went to maybe one MLS game, and tickets were free. People would just give, they talk about how, you know, attendance is pretty good at MLS, stuff like that, but tickets were free. And I know Houston has one of the better attendance of all the MLS teams. You know, they have a large Hispanic population, so a lot of people go. But they give those tickets out like nothing, like just on college campuses. They're just handing them out. So I just don't understand it. I don't have any friends that are diehard soccer fans. And if they are, they're fans of soccer overseas. And that's just stupid, in my opinion. I don't know how you become a diehard, you know, soccer, Manchester United. That's like the only team I know. I don't know how you become like a diehard Manchester United fan if you live here and you've never even been to that damn country before. You've only seen them on TV. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're not a fan. You're not a fan of that team. Sure, you can like the sport and you can cheer for that team a little bit, but you are not a fan. That's not what fandom is. Anyway, I'm getting way off track here, but it seems like Nashville's a lot more interested in their professional soccer team, which is unfortunate because I think it's a city that it would be more concerned about NASCAR. It's a city that really likes NASCAR, and it's historically been a NASCAR city. So we'll see how it plays out, but I don't know. Hopefully they get the race there, but it's not looking good. It's really not looking good right now. That's all I have to say. And then, yeah, this is going to be a short episode, people. Every time I don't have a guest on, it seems to be a short episode. Because, you know, what do you want to do? Just listen to me talk to myself for an hour? I mean, I do. I just press record and then get in my car and press play and listen to myself all day long. It's beautiful. I have a sexy voice. I'm well aware of it. But anyway, it'll be a pretty short episode. But I'm going to wrap it up talking about the biggest news, the biggest story going on in NASCAR. What this whole episode was going to be about is Darrell Waltrip. And obviously everybody knows the article that came out from, what was her last name? Jenna something. The NASCAR reporter that everybody always hates. And she wrote an article about how Darrell Waltrip needs to retire. And it has been very mixed. Essentially, all of the NASCAR journalists have kind of come out to defend her, which they seem to do every time people are mad at her. And I guess I understand it. They probably are friends with her, but I don't know. If you're a journalist, just stay out of it. You know, don't make this thing to where it's NASCAR fans versus journalists. You know, that's what is happening in politics, and it's not going to end well for the journalists. The fans will win that battle every single time. Every single time. And you know what? You know, no offense to the journalists. And I know I had, like, Bob Hockress on. And he's great. I love him. His Twitter account's amazing. All his reporting's great. You know, Jeff Gluck, love him. Great. I love these reporters. They're wonderful. So I don't mean to diminish what their career with what I'm about to say. But let's be honest, we all have social media now, right? And no offense, but like sports journalism doesn't seem to be quite as important as it was 20 years ago. And I think we can all admit that a little bit. And yes, we still go to the Twitter accounts for these journalists more than others, but that's because they have more access. And all I'm saying is, you know, running a Twitter account isn't hard. Everybody does it. And, you know, my buddy Eric Estep, who hopefully will be back on the show next week, so be on the lookout for that. But, you know, he just got full access to the race in Texas, and he's just a YouTuber. He doesn't work for Fox or anybody else. So all I'm saying is journalists don't try to make a whole thing about it's journalists versus the fans, because you will lose. But more importantly, you know, but about her article was a lot of people were angry. Certain drivers were angry, and a lot of fans were angry that she was being unnecessarily rude and calling out a legend in NASCAR. And like, who is this, you know, to call him out? And a lot of people haven't liked her writing previously, a lot of NASCAR fans, and I've been, you know, wishy-washy about it. I'm like, you know, whatever. I don't really care what she has to say, and sometimes she says some good stuff. So I've never minded her like other NASCAR fans have, especially on like NASCAR Reddit, where they just tear her apart. But for this article, I gotta say, I am siding with the angry fans, and I can't wait to have this conversation with Eric next week, because he's been siding with her very hard on Twitter. And if he's listening to this episode, Eric, you're going to hear my opinion. I've been reading yours on Twitter, and this is why I wanted you on this episode, so we could hash this out. But I got to side with the fans on this one, or the haters for her. Because, you know, the people that were supporting her were saying, like, well, she's just being critical and just, you know, stating her opinion. She's not being rude, stuff like that. So I grabbed a couple direct quotes from that article, because I read the article, and I was surprised that people were defending her so adamantly, because it did seem like she was kind of attacking him. It seemed rude. The whole, you know, I write blogs every single day. I love writing. And just the tone and the voice of her writing seemed very rude, and seemed like she was talking down to an elderly guy. You know, here's a couple quotes from it. Cracker Barrel Down Home Podcast, Spinning Yarns of the Good Old Days, Carnival-like Yuckfest is stale, Backslapping Tales and Quips that Consistently Fall Flat, Waltrip Has Become a Caricature of Himself. And, I mean, those were just a couple of the quotes that stuck out to me, because I was like, those are rude. That's calling him just some old, redneck, hick, retired guy that needs to stop driving. Let's take his license away. You know, stuff like that. It just, why did you have to put it the way you did? Cracker Barrel Down Home? You know, spinning yarns from good old days? What does that even mean? Like, it's so, why people were so upset was because we all know Darrell Waltrip, his career at Fox and in the booth is coming to an end. And he does make mistakes when he's speaking. And a lot of people hate Boogity Boogity Boogity. Like, they hate it. A lot of fans hate it. And maybe I went into this a little biased, but I really try to stay unbiased on hot topics like this. But I've never hated Boogity Boogity Boogity. I have no problem with it. I think it's pretty fun, actually. And it's something that is, you know, his trademark that he says at the beginning of every race. And, you know, people that aren't even NASCAR fans know about it. I have no problem with that saying at all. But a lot of people hate that saying. And so it seemed apparent that his career was coming to an end in the booth. Ooh, excuse me, once again. And it just seemed unnecessary for her to write an article saying that he needs to hurry up and retire, and then kind of bashing him, just subtly bashing him in the meantime throughout the article. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's been doing this for 19 years. He's a NASCAR Hall of Famer and a Booth Hall of Famer. And I don't know. It just seemed like she was talking down to him. I didn't like the tone of the article myself. Nevertheless, in the midst of all this drama and all this heat, today it officially was announced, actually just a couple hours ago, that Darrell Waltrip is actually retiring after, I believe, how many more races are there for Fox? Either way, he's retiring very soon. He's going to be out of the booth for good. And now everybody's coming together with the hashtag thank you DW. And, you know, I won't call out the people that were supporting Jenna because, like my buddy Eric, he was very adamant, you know, on like all his tweets saying, I really, you know, respect everything Darrell Waltrip's done. He's been, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, people that were against or for her article coming out now and saying thank you DW, I think it's fine. Because they all acknowledged how great he was. But it's nice, I guess, that it him actually retiring is bringing everybody together. I still, you know, this journalist has officially rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm starting to see where these other NASCAR fans, why they have issues with her. Because apparently stuff like this has happened before, that she drums up controversy. And I remember, what was it, last season, I believe, or maybe it was even off season, she wrote an article that a lot of people didn't like, and I didn't seem to really have a problem with it, but she turned it into a, maybe I shouldn't be a NASCAR journalist anymore type of thing. And it's like, don't air that stuff out to me, you know, don't put that on me either as a fan. You know what, I don't give a shit if you're a NASCAR journalist or not. Let's be real. Like, you can go be a journalist for anything else. I don't care. And also, I'm pretty sure if you work for a big network like that, they kind of tell you who you're a journalist for. So, you know, don't, like I said, one more time, journalists, if there's any journalists listening, don't turn it into a journalist versus fans thing. Don't be personally offended by anything. You're a journalist. Not, you know, I have an opinion, right? And my whole podcast is me speaking my opinion about things. And if journalists want to start to do that and just be podcasters and bloggers, more power to them. But if you're a journalist, you're reporting news and you can't be personally offended by things. So I didn't like the article. A lot of people didn't like the article. And if she feels personally attacked or personally offended, that's her business. And I personally don't give a shit. And I don't think many people do. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of wrap this episode up just saying how great Darrell Waltrip has been to the sport. You know, I'm going to sound corny just like everybody else is going to sound with their YouTube videos and podcasts probably coming out at the same time I'm doing it. I'm sure Eric has something coming out right now. For my wedding, one of my dad's best friends lives in Franklin and is actually good friends with Darrell. And although I've never met Darrell myself, I do plan on going to Franklin, hopefully to meet him, especially now that he's not working. But I got married back in November, and my dad's friend, for the wedding present, brought us a guitar autographed by Darrell Waltrip for our wedding gift. And it says, I'll read it right now, it's on the wall. It says, "To Matt and Sam, God bless, and boogity, 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 let's get married, guys. Phil 4:13, which is the scripture says something like anything is possible through the strength of God type thing, right? And then he autographed it there at the bottom. Just such a nice thing to do for somebody he's never met. And, you know, everything I hear about him, he has like weekly Bible studies at his house with just everybody who can come over. And he just sounds like such an amazing guy. And I really do want to meet him. Hopefully I'll get to meet him at some point, hopefully sooner than later. And he's just been an amazing in NASCAR, in the whole sport of NASCAR. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Great driver. You know, people say that his career lasted longer than it should. I don't give a shit what you think. He's a Hall of Famer. He drove as long as he wants. And although I'm on here saying that, you know, when is Jimmy Johnson going to retire, stuff like that, it doesn't matter. Jimmy Johnson can drive as long as he damn well pleases, or as long as somebody's willing to give him a ride. Same thing with Darrell Waltrip, and same thing with the booth. I'm honestly, personally, a little sad to see him go. I like him in the booth. I think he adds life and character. He's got a great voice. I'm going to miss Boogity. And, No, Jeff Gordon's very smart when it comes to racing. He knows a lot. He's a great commentator in the booth, but I don't think he's as lively as Darrell Waltrip. I really liked Waltrip in the booth, and I hope they don't replace him with Harvick, which is what I've been hearing. That would be the last thing I want to see. I don't like Harvick at all. Anyway, this podcast isn't meant to bash Kevin Harvick. It's meant to congratulate Darrell Waltrip on his amazing career and thank him for the amazing wedding gift. And for anybody that's been listening to the podcast long enough, they may or may not have noticed, I like to add a little Easter egg every single episode, at the end of every single episode. And it used to be It's Always Sunny back when I was talking college football, and I mixed it up because I love it's always TV shows that I love, and it's always just kind of funny little references at the end. So lately I've been doing King of the Hill, and I thought it was perfect, and that's why I did the King of the Hill t-shirt, which, by the way, is for sale. It is King of the Track. Go check it out at chairkaten.com, and you just click on the merchandise, and it'll take you over there to it. King of the Track. Hilarious, hilarious t-shirt. But I always end with a King of the Hill Easter egg at the end. And this week, or this episode, I'm going to end it with a really good one. So make sure to listen to it after the episode. And listen to all of them after every episode. They're pretty funny. Also, I just put out a brand new shirt just now before I started recording this podcast of Bristol Motor Speedway, and it is maybe my favorite t-shirt design I've ever done. It is really cool. I got the idea from like a national park type thing, but with the racetrack and the planes flying over. I love this design. So that's also at chairgating.com under the tab merchandise. Go check that one out as well, or just follow me on Instagram where I post all my t-shirt designs at chairgating. Also Twitter at chairgating. Be sure to go to bellyupsports.com, check out all the NASCAR content that we're always producing. And I guess one last time, shout out to TixBlitz. If you need tickets, go to TixBlitz.com, TixBlitz.com. And I guess, next week we'll have Eric on. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Say, could you toss me those Autolite double platinum plugs?
Wow, Darrell Waltrip, you're a legend.
You know this grease monkey?
He's a famous corn flakes model.
Well, I also know a thing or two about racing.